Mr. Allen?
Morning. My name is Eric Allen. I represent Leonard Kidd. May it please the court. This case has a long and convoluted history, so I won't bore the court with that. But the essence of the COA and the reason why we're here has to deal with Mr. Kidd's Sixth Amendment right and whether or not that still stands for anything in this country anymore, and whether or not the waiver can be presumed from a short conversation between the trial judge and between my mentally retarded, brain-damaged client.
I don't believe he is retarded. I do not accept that.
Okay.
Because you read the you read what he says, and his cross-examination of witnesses and his closing statement. He sounds very intelligent. He does not sound in the least bit retarded. And the notion that he has an IQ of only 57, I don't understand that. I don't get that.
Well, Your Honor, the testing done seemed to indicate that his...
But I don't get... Look, we have the transcript of his closing argument.
Okay.
Now, would you say that that is the closing argument of a retarded person?
I would.
How can you say that? You find me something in that transcript that strikes you as evidence of retardation.
Well, I can't say that it's a diagnostic indicator of retardation, but
look, you just said the transcript shows he's retarded, and I want you to find me something in the transcript that's evidence of retardation.
Okay. Well, if you read the closing carefully, you'll see that it's disjointed. It doesn't speak to anything other than I didn't do it.
I don't know if you heard the previous case. Previous case, a very intelligent judge, Judge Kennelly,
mm-hmm.
is quoted at length. And it's kind of meandering, you know. No one's going to call Judge Kennelly retarded. He's very intelligent. And Kidd, I think he gave a good closing argument. And I think his cross-examination was shrewd and articulate. And I don't understand. You can always find a psychiatrist to testify if someone is mentally disturbed. And I wouldn't say he was a fully normal person, considering the history of his behavior. I don't see retardation. Not even clear he made a mistake to defend himself, because that gave him an opportunity actually to be questioning people, questioning witnesses in a way that a lawyer couldn't have done, right? When he says to a witness, you know, weren't we friends and so on, all that's right? The lawyer couldn't say that.
Well, certainly if you're looking at the transcript as a whole, and this was pointed out in the district court below and in our petition and our traverse and later filings, I mean, a lot of what he did in the court didn't make any sense, and a lot of it was just showing certain objections that he had made, certain questions that he asked that were inculpatory.
Well, that's an example.
I know I walked into that one. There was one point where he would object, and there wasn't really a question before the witness. I mean, it was just sort of
I tell you, when I read your brief, I was like, oh, my God, what a travesty. And then I had the same reaction as Judge Posner. His closing argument was pretty together. Like when he said, where is the police that said I did this? You get one guy up there that said I did it. Where's the court reporter? Where's the tape recorder? Where's the video camera? To say, here goes the evidence right before you all. They don't have it, so something is wrong here. Something is wrong. That's a classic, you know, defense argument when there's no corroboration for statements. I mean, when you look at the different parts of this, he's arguing a lot of classic
sure
arguments.
Well, I don't mean to say that he's brain dead or that he can't.
Yeah, and look at what he did with the bomb and fire guy. He said he testified he doesn't know the causes of the fire. We know the lights were going on and off. We know this wasn't just this day. We know there was a refrigerator there. It was never checked or tested. He testified to that. He testified to you all. He did a report in 1980, and he couldn't determine the cause in 1980.
Right.
That's classic attack on an expert witness.
Sure.
And he'd been through a trial or several trials, right?
And who's to say
and
he didn't?
I think he learned a lot about, you know, how you conduct a trial.
Yeah, I mean, who's to say he's not following the script of the first trial?
You have not been able to give any example of evidence of retardation in his behavior in the trial. And if he's able to conduct himself well in a trial, that suggests that his decision to waive counsel was a rational decision.
Well, I think where the problem comes is that this judge sat through his mitigation phase and learned all of these things and didn't go into his state of mind at the time when he's asking him if he wants to represent himself. He knew that Leonard had a low IQ. He knew that he was brain damaged. He knew all of these things, but failed to even have him evaluate it.
I know, but what difference does it make if he does a good job? And so we can say, well, it's clear that the judge, no matter how detailed an investigation, should have allowed him to represent himself. He's confident to do so.
Well, certainly, if the good job is that he got convicted, that's one thing.
Well, he wasn't going to get acquitted.
I don't know.
His lawyer, who hates him, wasn't going to. Why is that going to get him acquitted?
There are certainly a lot of. This isn't part of the COA,
would that have been his lawyer at trial? What was his name?
Bob Strunk.
Or something?
Yeah.
What?
Bob Strunk from the PD's office.
Would that have been his lawyer?
Probably. I don't know if the judge would have kept Bob on the case.
So the only thing he benefited from having that as his lawyer would be that he'd have his ineffective assistance claim after he lost.
Well, certainly there are a number of actual innocence issues in this case that aren't part of our discussion here today. I mean, this is a winnable case at trial in capable hands, not in the hands of Mr. Kidd.
Well, assuming you would win, does Kidd still has to remain in prison, right? Isn't he serving another life sentence without the possibility of parole on an unrelated murder charge?
Well, there's that, yeah. I
mean, that's a pretty big thing.
There is a separate homicide case where there are four victims. This is a homicide case where there are 11 victims.
Right.
So.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that you really have to look at the things that were presented in the state post-conviction.
The question is not whether a lawyer would have done better. That's almost always the case, but there is a right to represent yourself. And if you're competent, even if you're, you know, it's very bad judgment, if you're mentally competent, you're allowed to do that. And it seems from his conduct of the trial, maybe it wasn't as good as the lawyers would have been, but clearly it argues for a high level of intellectual functioning.
Well, I think the testing of that and the things we're able to supplement in the state court record and the state post-conviction seem to belie the fact that he knew what he was doing, that he was able to understand these proceedings, that he was able to present a viable defense.
But having sat through previous trials, he could make a judgment whether he's better off representing himself, where he can talk to the witnesses in a way that he couldn't as a party, and a way his lawyer couldn't, whether he's better off doing that or having a lawyer. So if he's rational, why don't you let him make that judgment?
Well, I certainly think that based on what I've read in the reports and the record, part of the state post-conviction litigation, I think the decision is more of a scared child than it is of a person that's making a decision.
Scared child? Mr. Kidd?
Yes.
No. I would not describe him as a scared child.
I said, based on his functioning and the testing that was performed on him.
By that testing stuff. For one thing, you as the patient. See, he is smart, and it's entirely plausible that he fakes the poor performance on his tests, right? If he thinks he has a shot, maybe at defensive mental incapacity, then he just acts like a dummy when he's being interviewed by the psychiatrist. How do you correct for that?
Well, I think, when the state psychologist interviews him in 92, it goes up to 70, and up until that point.
But look, if I wanted to, I could take an IQ test, and I could end up with a grade of zero, right?
Probably
not.
Just
say, I can't answer these questions. 2 and 2? I don't know what 2 and 2 is, right?
I don't think it would be.
What am I leaving out?
I don't think it would be that much of a skew. I don't think you could
blow
it that much.
Well, wait a second. You answer my question.
Well,
what am I leaving out? I'm saying anybody wants to flunk an IQ test, get a really low grade, can do so by playing dumb.
Right.
Right? So doesn't that undermine the reliability of psychiatric tests of defendants who might well be advantaged by being pronounced mentally retarded?
Well, I think that's certainly possible in a highly functional psychopathic person, but I don't
I don't understand highly functional psychopathic person. What's that's nonsense?
Well,
if a rational person has a substantial benefit to obtain from pretending to be stupid, why does he have to be a psychopath in order to decide that's what he's going to do?
Well, certainly in Mr. Kidd's case, when he was tested in 1992 prior to his second trial, he has a higher IQ score than when he was tested when he was in grade school and high school. So he wasn't doing anything that benefited him at that point. So I don't think that he's in these testing with in state post-conviction that he's malingering or he's making his condition worse or anything like that. I certainly think that knowing him that he would try very hard to conduct the test as well as he can and not try and skew it one way or the other.
Mm-hmm. So there are IQ tests in the record from his school?
Yes, sir.
What do they show?
They show 64, 60, and 63, I believe.
Okay, well, thank you very much. And we'll hear from, I'm sorry, let's see. Ms. Sanders?
Good morning. I'm Assistant Attorney General Catherine Saunders on behalf of the respondent warden. We're asking that this court affirm the district court's judgment, finding that the state court did not unreasonably apply clearly established Supreme Court precedent in resolving petitioner's attorney waiver claim. The only question certified before this court today is whether petitioner's attorney waiver was knowing and voluntary, and whether it was knowing presumes competency. That is the ability to understand. The question is, given that ability, did he actually understand what he was doing? Did he understand the significance and consequence of waiving counsel? And the record here plainly shows that he did. Approximately 2 years after the case was docketed following a retrial, on the eve of trial, petitioner informed his attorney, Robert Strunk, that he wanted to discharge his counsel and proceed pro se. Mr. Strunk tried to dissuade him, said it was his right but not in his best interest to do so. The court did the same at a hearing that day, tried to dissuade Mr. Kidd from discharging counsel said, you'll be expected to do everything you saw your attorney do in your previous trials. You will have to cross-examine witnesses, examine witnesses, present evidence, present jury instruction and argument. He said, I don't know that that's in your best interest. I discourage you from doing that, and I want you to take a week, think it over. When the parties came back a week later, the judge essentially admonished Mr. Kidd to the same effect. You will have to do everything you did in your previous trials. And he said he understood that, but he was not going to go through what he did before in the first trial, where he felt the witnesses, people he knew, for instance, his girlfriend and his girlfriend's mother, had lied, and he felt himself better able to expose those lies on cross-examination, as Judge Posner suggested that he knew these people and he might be able to get more out of these witnesses than he thought his attorney could. As far as competency, of course, as I mentioned, the knowing involuntary inquiry presumes competency, but if this court has any questions about petitioner's competency, I welcome them at this time. The best evidence of petitioner's competency is probably the trial judge's observation post-trial that he was competent, he was totally mentally fit, he was as sober as anyone in the courtroom, and he didn't do a bad job as his own lawyer. So his conduct at trial, obviously, if you read all of Exhibit K, is the trial transcript. He did a fine job. He presented coaching. He had a cogent theory of the case. He presented argument, cross-examined witnesses, interposed objections to leading questions. There were no outbursts, no erratic behavior. In fact, petitioner never really argued any kind of incompetency claim until post-conviction on direct appeal. He sought a competency examination based on a statutory right under Illinois law at that time. One could seek a competency hearing if one was taking psychotropic medication under a doctor's direction.
What explains his low IQ scores in school? His 60s is low. You know, 70 is usually regarded as the line. Be surprising if someone with such a low IQ could do as well as he did at the trial. Was there any discussion of that, of his school scores?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mr. Allen mentioned that his school IQ scores were in the 60s.
That's correct, yes. When tested in, I would say, the 70s, they were in the 60s. But in 1993, so 1 year before this trial, and while he was standing trial in his other case, he was given a comprehensive test of his IQ, and he scored a 73 on that comprehensive measure as an adult. And that's the best estimate we have of Mr. Kidd's IQ at the time of the trial in this case.
I would have guessed. I mean, I don't know that much about IQs. I would have guessed his IQ is around 100. I'm very surprised it would be 73. That's very, very low. That's kind of the, well, let's see. Yeah, that's two standard deviations. That's the lowest. I think it would be the lowest 2.5% of the population, and it surprises me. But anyway,
if this court has no further questions, we'd ask that you affirm the judgment of the district court.
Okay, thank you very much, Ms. Sanders. So, Mr. Allen, do you have anything further?
Just briefly. I think in looking at Mr. Kidd, you have to look at sort of the whole picture. It's not only the IQ, but he's also very low functioning in terms of his testing. In addition to that, as a teenager, he suffered two car accidents and suffered brain damage, which gave him post-traumatic epilepsy. And at the time of the trial, he was on a dangerous mixture of antipsychotic drugs and anti-seizure drugs. So the judge would have known all of this. And
why wasn't any of that manifested at the trial? Because Ms. Saunders said he sounds perfectly normal from the trial transcript.
Well, certainly if you've given someone a powerful antipsychotic, they're not going to act out in the courtroom. And if he has his seizure medication, he's not going to have a seizure. So those two things, but they're certainly going to affect his ability to waive an important constitutional right.
I don't think that's true of epilepsy. What, epileptic people can't waive? I don't understand that. An epileptic person, because taking medicine can't function mentally.
I'm saying the mixture of the Dilantin and the.
Is there evidence they mix? They don't mix. You shouldn't mix epilepsy drugs with antipsychotic drugs.
Yes, Your Honor. There's a affidavit from Dr. Marsh, which is attached to.
But why isn't there a manifestation of this? How would he have handled the trial differently had he not been taking these medicines?
I certainly think it would be more. I don't know. He would certainly be a different person, but whether or not that different person could waive his rights, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thank you very much. You were appointed, were you not?
Actually, I'm doing a pro
bono. Oh, what's a habeas, pardon?
Pro bono.
Pro bono, right. Yes, well, we thank you for your efforts on behalf of your client.